from the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show. It's show 157. Hey, I sense somebody in the air. Is that you, Randy?
Yes, it is. What
you farted.
No, not that kind of air.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
By the way, everybody tuned in, that's the caliber of this show.
Yeah,
okay?
This is a news source. The only way direction to go is up.
That's right. That's what I think.
And listen, young Bill, thank you for inviting me to be with you this evening. It is evening in Australia.
It is.
It's already tomorrow, listeners. So we can tell you everything that's happened.
Yeah, that's right. We're in Australia.
We're on the other side of the dateline. We're so tomorrow.
We are so tomorrow. And, of course, every week or so, we're during the presidential elections, we kind of look at what's going on.
And you know what? I can't wait. You know, 49 days to go. And
I know.
Every one of them is going to be like pulling teeth.
Yeah. It's like two gifts at Christmas. One is clothes, and the other is a nuclear bomb. You know what I'm saying? There's no bikes under the tree for any of us, okay? There's no bikes under the tree.
Look, and isn't it embarrassing when all of the Christmas ornaments and the Halloween stuff is out months in advance?
At the same time.
I expect to see hot cross buns for Easter any day now.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, of course, what we're talking about is, of course, the current state of the presidential race in America. And we had a week full of, that was fun. Yeah. We had a week full of great fun stuff like Matt Lauer being a super journalist. he hosted the debates, but let's get into that on our first segment, of course, as we do every week.
What is it? What is our
It's
first
time for Psycho Trump and the help he gets from the media. Here it is.
Now it's time for the next episode of Psycho Trump.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Yes, it's Psycho Trump. It's Psycho Trump, ladies and gentlemen, because what happened this week was that Trump didn't have to say anything, well, really crazy, but of course he did. But then he got a helpful hand from the media with probably the lousiest interview we've ever seen between presidential candidates and someone from the media. Of course, we're talking about the Matt Lauer interview. Yeah. And Trump did come up with some fantastic things this week. During this interview, which was on NBC, it was called the Commander-in-Chief Forum. Putin was asked, you know, this guy you like in Russia, you know, the former KGB assassin. You know him, the guy who you really like? Maybe you shouldn't like him so much, considering he's, you know, assisting a country that's in the middle of doing genocide to Syria.
Yeah. And Ukraine and everywhere else, yeah.
This is what our presidential candidate said to that question. Here it is.
Some of the things you've said about Vladimir Putin, you said, I will tell you, in terms of leadership, he's getting an AR president. Is not doing so well. And when referring to a comment that Putin made about you, I think he called you a brilliant leader, you said it's always a great honor to be so nicely complimented by a man so highly respected within his country and beyond.
Well, he does have an 82% approval rating according to the different pollsters who, by the way, some of them are based right here. Look.
He's also a guy who annexed Crimea, invaded Ukraine, supports Assad in Syria, supports Iran, is trying to undermine our influence in key regions of the world, and according to our intelligence community, probably is the main suspect for the hacking of the DNC computers.
Well, nobody basically knows that for a fact, but do you want me to start naming some of the things that President Obama does?
But do you want to be complimented by that former KGB officer?
Well, I think when he calls me brilliant, I'll take the compliment, okay?
Yeah, I'll take that compliment.
Yeah, somebody wants to give me a blowjob. Yeah, I'll take it.
So let me get this straight. Hitler walks up to you in hell.
You're brilliant.
And just kind of goes, you know what? You're doing good work.
You are, yeah. Come meet my friend.
Seriously.
Come meet my friend Saddam Hussein, yeah.
You know what I love? I love, Randy, is that moment in which Trump says, hey, he's got an 80% approval rating. Yeah, he kills people who don't
approve
for him.
Of him, yeah. And there's nobody else. So 15% of the people, what are they choosing?
Donald, let me explain something to you. Okay?
It's a totalitarian regime, you dick.
There's never any chance of it having a bad approval rating. You stupid ass fuck. Jesus Christ.
What a turd.
It's just like, you know, it's really the most, he's so fucking stupid. And he's a narcissistic asshole. So Hitler could say, hey, nice suit. And he would go, oh, it's about me. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine arms negotiations with Donald Trump.
That's okay. I think Hitler was misunderstood.
We will give you, we will give absolutely no quarter. Hey, but you look good in that suit.
I don't mind.
No problem.
I think Adolf Hitler was misunderstood. You know, I really do.
Oh shit, man! Donald Trump never faces to amaze me. But I'll tell you, Matt Lauer got into a big hangle with this. Matt Lauer's pathetic interview of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump is the scariest thing I've seen in this campaign. Now he says something. This is from New York Magazine, Randy.
Yeah.
And he said something that really got to me. And I just want to repeat what he said. This is from New York Magazine. This is Jonathan Chait who said this. I had not taken seriously the possibility that Donald Trump could win the presidency until I saw Matt Lauer host an hour-long interview with the two major party candidates. Lauer's performance was not merely a failure. It was horrifying and shocking. The shock for me was the realization that most Americans inhabit a very different news environment than professional journalists. I not only consume a lot of news since it's my job, I also tend to focus on elite print news. Most voters, and all the more so with undecided voters, subsist on a news diet supplied by the likes of Matt fucking Lauer.
That's right.
You know, and that, I just sat there and I went, that's right.
Yeah, that's why.
That is so fucking
he's
right.
He's a white bread kind of thing that fits in well between commercials.
No, but that's the thing, man, is that journalism has gotten to the point where you can have this demented mop head say things like, for example, this is from Inside Edition. I just want to play this. It goes through some of the things that Lauer just let slide in that interview. Here, have a listen to this.
Forum host Matt Lauer finds himself under fire today. Matt Lauer fields storm of criticism over Clinton-Trump forum, says the New York Times. Lauer frequently interrupted Hillary.
To exert the kind of pressure through sanctions that the United States alone could not do.
Right, but you said that you think you're going to cheat.
Look, this is an important issue. We don't have a lot of time.
I want to get to a lot of questions.
I will talk quickly.
But he is taking heat for failing to challenge Trump on issues like his claim he opposed invading Iraq back in 2003.
I was against the war in Iraq because I said it's going to totally destabilize the Middle East, which it has. It has absolutely been a disastrous war.
In fact, Trump told Howard Stern the opposite of that in 2002.
Are you for invading Iraq?
Yeah, I guess so. I wish the first time it was done correctly.
He said he was lying on the radio.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake. Trump just stared at you and gave you an absolute falsehood. You did not research enough to know the truth about his statements about the Iraq war. What the fuck did you do before you sat for that interview? What the fuck did Matt Lauer fucking do? You know what? He was checking his hair.
Who picked him? Why did we have somebody from Fox News?
Fucking hell. It's just embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. And then he starts interrupting Clinton when she comes out with detailed answers. But meanwhile, Bonzo the clown over there is sitting there going, hey, we'll make America great again. No problem. We'll make America great again. Yeah. No problem. Hey, what kind of plan do you have? Oh, it's a secret plan. It's a very secret plan. But when when I get together with generals about my plan and their plan, I'll have a plan, but I can't tell you about it now. It's secret.
That's for sure.
He's getting away with this shit. And Hillary, who is bookish, you know, who actually does read books, actually gave detailed and nuanced answers, and this fucking idiot, this hairpiece, cut her off and said, nah, we don't want to hear those facts in an interview. Amazing. It was amazing. By the way, it was so terrible, Randy.
Yeah.
We got a package at the Bill Show Studios. We got a package from the it was marked from out of town. I don't know what it was, but I opened it and it was a realtor.
Oh, you fool.
I opened it.
It could have been anthrax. It could have been
No one's going to care about us. God knows. Give us 5 years, we'll be dead anyway. So, but we're old, damn it. So, look, the thing was is I took it out and it was a reel-to-reel tape. Like an old reel-to-reel.
Yeah. And like, you know, authentic tape or real tape.
And you know the Reverend out there in our reception area.
Pastor Manning.
Pastor Manning. He was wearing a beautiful dress, but he's a fantastic guy because he has an old reel-to-reel tape recorder. So Pastor Manning talked about penises for a half hour, but you know, he got this, he's out for me. So here it is, from parts unknown, this is what I received in the Bill Show studios.
The secret Bill Show tape.
The secret Bill Show tapes. Here they are. This came from outside.
This is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening, I'm Walter Cronkite. I've been up here in heaven, doing what great former journalists do when they go to heaven. I've been sailing my yacht with JFK on a lovely beach. Sometimes I wear Bermuda shorts. Many times I get tanked and play bridge with Ed Morrow. You know something? He smokes like a chimney now. There's no cancer in heaven. You know, the other day, I turned on my 15-inch black and white Zenith TV and watched the CNN interviews with the current presidential nominees. After seeing 2 minutes of watching this Matt Lauer interview his guests, I asked Ernest Hemingway for his shotgun, put it in my mouth, and blew my brain out. Yes, that's right. I sprayed my brains all over my newly painted bedroom. Luckily, here in heaven, you can't commit suicide because you're already dead. But I'll tell you, it gives you a hell of a headache. But let me just say this. You're all fucked in the head. Really. This is Uncle Walter saying you're all fucking insane. I've tossed my television out the window and I'm contemplating doing heroin with Jimi Hendrix after I get tanked with Morrow. So that's the way it is. So long, assholes.
Yeah, that was the tape. Walter Cronkite, Randy, blew his head off.
Yeah.
Again.
That
was from heaven. He's pissed off. Uncle Walter doesn't. Jesus Christ. Can't you leave the man in peace by not being fucking idiots? Now we have to go to our next segment, ladies and gentlemen. The next segment, of course, is
Hillary the Inevitable.
Hillary the Inevitable. Here it is. Now,
Now it's time for another episode of Hillary the Inevitable.
So you get into the general election if you're the nominee for your party.
I will be the nominee for my party, Chris. That is already done, in effect.
Yes, it's Hillary the Inevitable, Randy.
Yeah, the Terminator, the Clintonator, yeah, she's
the Clintonator. Clintonator's not doing too well.
Well, look, she's old, we're old, you're old, I'm old.
Absolutely,
We get sick, apparently, that she's got the pneumonia. She's
got a cough. She's got a fucking cough. Leave the poor lady alone. Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you what, Donald Trump's heart rate went up this week. He was so excited because she was sick.
I know.
And they spread these rumors that the DNC was doing. What were they doing? They were looking at just what we can do, who we can get in. Of course, Bernie Sanders said, me, pick me. and it just went on from there.
No. I don't think that's going to happen because it's bullshit.
Pat says it's going to be Joe Biden. Joe Biden's in the wings now.
Because if I want political advice, I'll go to the guy who dribbles in the corner and talks about hurricanes being the wrath of God because people are gay. That's the guy that I take future predictions from, you know? Anyhow.
So she wasn't well. She had a health scare. She had
fucking
to be she had to get helped. She was. It was hot. She was at the 9/11 thing, and she just
She went. She didn't stiff him. She was walking around with pneumonia for 3 days. And by the way, I've had pneumonia. You've had pneumonia. And by the way, somebody on the internet said the other day. He said, "My parents could die of typhoid, come back as zombies, and eat the rest of my family, and I would still vote for that person before Trump." So there you go. You know,
but I'd rather have what Hillary has than anything Donald Trump has.
Yes,
pedophilia.
But you know, it's the media, guys. It's really the media. They have to make this a horse race.
Why aren't they mentioning any of the shit about him?
Well, we've got Lauer sitting there just softballing Trump. No. And then you have a media that has actually picked up on this. Fox News, oh my God, it is formidable. This is some of the media bullshit that was floating across television in the last couple of days. And this is reputable media and Fox. Here it is.
Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign team has admitted mishandling the weekend's health scare concerning the Democratic candidate. Critics want to know why, following her apparent collapse as she was helped into a car, it had not been revealed that she had some days before been diagnosed with pneumonia. With her health now emerging as a campaign issue, there have been promises to release new medical records to reassure voters of her fitness to stand for the presidency.
Sure. What's so interesting is that in the DNC, if these reports are correct, might be considering a replacement. Does Donald Trump have a plan to take on Tim Kaine and to take on Joe Biden?
No, I don't think they'll replace her. I think she... we have to see what's wrong. I mean,
he has a cough! For fuck's sake! Oh, Randall, man, this is making me crazy.
She has Zika. She has the Ebola virus.
Yeah, I know. And this is like I'm watching CNN here, and I go, this is amazing. This guy is obviously insane. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously he's a narcissistic sociopath. He's been running around like a fucking suicidal maniac for the past 6 months. He's a mental case. But you know something? Hillary has a cough. We would really check into that. I love the media. I love it.
They just make up shit.
Oh, listen, just so that we can have it, I did want to end my kind of my rant here with I have a list of.
I have a little list,
Randall.
List.
Yeah. I do.
The Gilbert and Sullivan list?
Yeah, it's a Gilbert and Sullivan list. And it's actually a top 10 list, kind of a Letterman top 10 list.
Oh, I miss him.
I do. So
he and John Stewart,
I think we should start with the Letterman theme here. There it is. That's if you listen closely, that's Paul Schaefer and the band.
And the Paul Schaefer and the band.
And doing the Letterman
CBS
theme.
Ed Sullivan Theater.
That's right. Back in the good old days. But
it wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. Here's the thing. People talk about health. Actually, the president's had, we want the president to be healthy. And that's always a big thing.
But they're human. They're human.
So here are the top, I think it's 7 or 8. I don't know. It's the top 7 or 8 presidential sicknesses. So we're worried about Hillary's cough. Let's take a look at some of these presidents, Randy.
Yeah.
Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, him of the long walk of tears or whatever.
Yeah, Andrew Jackson's on your $20 bill, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
He's a certified nutcase. The 7th president suffered from emotional and physical maladies.
Yeah.
When the 62-year-old was inaugurated, he was remarkably thin and just lost his wife to a heart attack. He suffered from rotting teeth, chronic headaches, failing eyesight, bleeding in the lungs, internal infection, and the pain of 2 bullet wounds in 2 separate duels. But you know something? Hillary has a cough.
Yeah, so, Hillary has a cough. So
Hillary has a cough.
All right, that's 1 for Andrew Jackson and 0 for Hillary. Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Man.
You know, polio at 25, yes.
Yeah, the greatest president, according to us.
Four-term.
Yeah, beat that. He's the Michael Jordan of presidents. Go fuck yourselves, Republicans, all right? At age 39, FDR experienced a severe attack of polio, resulting in paralysis. He funded research after that, but one of Roosevelt's main health problems began in 1944 when he started showing signs of anorexia and weight loss. In 45, he had a severe pain in the head, was diagnosed with a massive cerebral hemorrhage. But you know something? Hillary Clinton has a cough. Let's go forth to Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. First, he takes a bullet to the chest. Yes.
Obviously, somebody who really is maybe the greatest president for somebody out there who is listening to the long podcast. And absolutely. He struggled constantly with poor half. Old Ronnie, he didn't have a cough. He experienced urinary tract infections.
Yeah.
He underwent the removal of prostate stones and suffered from temporomandibular joint disease and arthritis. In 1987, he had operations for prostate and skin cancer. He suffered from Alzheimer's while still in office. His wife, Nancy, was diagnosed with breast cancer, and his daughter died from skin cancer. So, you know something? Hillary Clinton does have a cough.
Yeah, she has a cough, yeah.
Am I making my point here?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys like George Bush a lot? Yeah, well, listen to this. Senior Bush almost died as a teenager from staph infection. Okay?
Yeah.
Throughout his lifetime, he suffered from bleeding ulcers, arthritis, cysts. Christ, he was disgusting. He was diagnosed with atrial fibrillation due to hyperthyroidism. Like his wife and family dog was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder called Graves' disease.
That's actually not as uncommon as you think. Yeah, but go on.
Graves' disease. Yeah. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, rather than boring you with all the history,
Hillary has a cough. Yeah.
Hillary has a cough!
And Donald Trump has a penchant for 13-year-old virgins.
That's right. You know something? I got so mad when I just said that. I just yelled it because I was yelling, she has a cough. Anyway, that should terminate my by Bombast today. I went on far too long, but it really bothered me today, this week. Listen, you've got a rant in store for us?
I do. It's actually not such a rant. It's quite layback, but it's quite positive. A positive rant.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, we'll be back with Randy's rant in just
a break. Yeah.
1 minute.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
Well, some late-breaking news just in from the United States, where there's been an amazing turn in the Bill Clinton-Monica Lewinsky case. We're crossing live to our correspondent, Al Riddell. Are you there, Al?
Yes, I am, Peter.
Al, amazing stories coming out of Washington. I believe they found something on Miss Lewinsky's dress.
Yes, they have.
Sorry, Al, you dropped out there. Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, they have found something.
And what have they found?
Well, it took scientists quite a while to ascertain what it was exactly, but they have been able to identify the substance, and I believe it is something known as peri-peri sauce.
Sorry?
Peri-peri. It's apparently a hot chili-based sauce that's unique to Nando's restaurants.
And what implications does this have on the case? Surely Mr. Clinton is off the hook now.
No, far from it. This has actually sparked further allegations from Miss Lewinsky. She claims that the sauce on the dress was not hers, that it was, in fact, the president's sauce. She claims that the president and herself feasted on Nando's chicken in their hotel room, but insists that the peri-peri was the president's. She said that she found the sauce too spicy and opted instead for the milder lemon and herb sauce. Going on to say that the president, and this is a quote, likes it hot.
Well, this must have rocked the White House.
Absolutely.
Have you made any attempt to contact Nando's at all?
Yes, I have.
And what did they say?
They said, hello, may I take your order?
Thanks, Al.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. Where did you find that?
Well, I told you I had it on one of my backup drives, so I just had to look for it. That's all.
Oh, my God.
1998, wasn't it, or 7?
Yeah, 1997? That was the Golden Stylus Award. It's the only award that I ever collected for radio commercials in 2000. When? I don't know. 1997. Yeah. It was 1997. And yeah, that was
because that was the blue Gap dress and it just come out of the news that morning.
It is such a fucking tacky ad.
but the opportunism of it. They had just that morning announced that Monica Lewinsky had said that there was semen on her dress.
Yeah.
President semen. It was a blue Gap dress.
Yeah.
Gap will never forgive her. You guys recorded that ad, and it was on the air by the afternoon news.
It was too. Yeah. And it was a chicken joint that said, hey, this is a funny idea. And they just got into the thing and they did. And it's tacky as hell. But when I did the voice, I was kind of my ode to Bob and Ray.
Yeah.
You know, Bob and Ray were a New England guys, and they had a reporter that talked exactly like that, you know.
So yep.
I'm right here, you know. It was all level. It was kind of like, that's right, Jim, he was talking to me yesterday and I had some, you know, information there, you know. And it was always,
it's
really
the president's sauce.
It's the president's sauce. You know what I mean?
Anyway, there you go. There you go, Bill. Little present.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we should actually go. Thank you for that. You warmed the cockles of an otherwise.
I don't want to touch your cockles. I'm 150 kilometers away. I won't touch your cockles for
Pastor Manning. Always wants to touch my cockles.
You got a flame coming out of your ass.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's time for Randy's rant. Let's do the music.
Let's do the music.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
It's Randy time. Uncle Randy.
I'm bumping and grinding around the studio, and I've got swinging around. Yeah.
The cellulite is flying. So,
Hang on, I've got to stop. I might stop dancing, but the rest of me just has to catch up.
Yeah, I know. It's like a 5 second. That image terrible. That image just had an aftertaste. Yeah.
Bill, this is a rant near and dear to a lot of people's heart.
Yeah.
It sort of goes back to the days of the 30s when marijuana was made illegal by the American alcohol and tobacco.
Industry.
Because they had got rid of prohibition, but people had been getting stoned and didn't want to get drunk anymore. And so they got the American government to ban cannabis. Of course, they threw the baby out with the bathwater and also banned hemp, which is not a drug. So
it's not a drug.
It's just a relative of marijuana. People have been growing it for 12,000 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, we come up to the 70s. It's kind of come back into fashion again. A lot of people were getting mellow on marijuana as a drug of a recreational drug of choice. And then
your
friend, Richard Nixon, decides to start a war on drugs.
And that was you know about the Ehrlichman thing, right?
Yeah, 1971, they started spraying them with stuff that made anybody who smoked it sick, and they basically they created the drug cartels, just like they created Osama bin Laden and ISIS.
But can you also know that John Ehrlichman, who is Nixon's trigger man in the White House, wrote and said, he said, look, we brought in drug laws for marijuana and for drugs because we were targeting young people who were demonstrating. Yeah. We did drugs because who are the people that are doing drugs right now? Black people and radicals, you know, 60s demonstrators. So that was the plan. It had, you know, it was basically put there to put black people and undesirables in prison.
Well, now one of the
that's what he said. Yeah, that's what he just basically admitted.
But you know, now that they're trying to legalize marijuana in the United States and in Australia and in Canada and in Great Britain, now the people who are fighting the legalization of marijuana are not the alcohol and tobacco industry. They're actually the private prisons and prison guard unions. Because a third of the people in jail in America are there on quite mild...
Because they got stoned.
Or caught in possession. Stoned. Now, because the prisons are private, those people don't want to go out of business. In Canada, of course, Justin Trudeau released all the people on minor marijuana laws because he could, because the prisons are state institutions. But anyway, so one of the great lobby groups against legalizing marijuana are the owners and operators of the prisons and the prison guard unions. Now, 13 American states have legalized marijuana for medicinal use. California, quite some time ago. And two states now, and growing, I think, have legalized marijuana for recreational use.
That's right.
If it was done in 2014,
they keep enacting the same legislation because they keep forgetting forgetting that they've done it.
Now.
By the way, if you're in the Senate cafeteria, never ask the guys from Colorado over to eat with you, because it's just like cookies and corn chips and Cheetos. They eat a lot of Cheetos.
Research is now in from the 13 states which have it medicinally, and Victoria will have it. Our state where we live within about a year, I think. Medicinal marijuana, there have been amazing things found out. In the last 10 years in America, deaths from prescribed painkillers and opiates have dropped 25%. Deaths from prescription, legally prescribed opioids, you know, that people take, Oxycontin and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
25% it's dropped.
25% has dropped here.
No, in America. We don't have legalized.
In America.
In the states that have legalized.
In the states that you had legalized.
Medicinal marijuana, yeah. Okay. And this is the Journal of American Medical Association has released this study. The difference in the states where they have this for pain management. Nobody apparently has ever ever died. Nobody's ever died from marijuana.
Randy, Big Pharma doesn't make money off marijuana.
I'll tell you
why,
one that,
why do I have to tell you these things over and over again?
It's not just that. There may well be a cure for cancer, but there's no money in that. So I even listened to a debate the other day from a woman who uses targeted lasers nanites to actually consume tumors, and nobody wanted to put money into it. So she developed a way to introduce the nanites through an expensive injection, and everybody all of a sudden were willing to back it.
Oh,
and, you know, of course,
we've got
the stories of kids with micro tremors, you know, 90 epileptic fits a day. And, of course, epilepsy is fatal in many cases if you have enough of these fits. And they introduce marijuana oil, cannabis oil, and they stop.
Yeah.
They stop.
Wow. That's incredible. So all these good things come from marijuana.
Well, they come from the 50 different things in marijuana, including the oils and the THC. But you can also get the benefits without the psychoactive ingredient, which is THC.
Right.
Here's another thing.
So basically, every Willie Nelson fan in our audience is really liking this broadcast.
There's not just that. Yeah. And Colorado is a great example of how it's worked for making money. It's like in revenue. It's not a very populous state, but they've made a lot of money in revenue. Certainly, America has spent over $1 trillion fighting marijuana in this war on drugs that's gone on now for 40 years. $1 trillion. That's $1,000 billion they've spent
on the war on
drugs. Here's another thing. The marijuana prices, you'd think, oh, wow, now that it's legal and it's in a retail situation and it's taxed, the quality is controlled, that it would maintain its price. Prices have plunged. It was like from $100, $100 plus for an ounce of marijuana in Washington State when it was legalized. It's now down to around $30 a gram.
Wow.
So it's dropped by...
Party in Colorado. Yeah,
and in Washington State, you know, Seattle.
And in Washington
Seattle
State.
Is hot.
Okay, well, your point is well taken. Do you have a clip?
Yeah, I certainly do. About the results in Colorado with, you know, the fact that the things that have happened in Colorado in the 2 years since they legalized marijuana for recreational use.
Okay. You want to have a listen?
I would.
Okay, here's the clip from Colorado on Randy's Rant.
23 states and the District of Columbia have legalized or decriminalized marijuana. Two states, Washington and Colorado, have made it legal for recreational use, which is the ultimate goal for groups trying to fully legalize weed. Colorado did this more than 8 months ago, and the numbers are in so we can finally look at some of the effects of legalizing weed. First off, let's look at the givens. Legalizing weed adds tax revenue. That's obvious. Colorado expects a $98 million jump in tax revenue from weed sales this year alone. Legalizing weed also adds jobs. It's estimated by the marijuana industry group that about 10,000 people now work in the weed industry in Colorado. nearly 2,000 of which started in the first half of this year. Most were already working in Colorado's medical marijuana industry prior to 2014. And the weed industry only accounts for about 0.04% of Colorado's workforce. So those numbers shouldn't be overblown, but sales are good and further job growth is expected. Those are the things that we know for sure, and they have a direct causal relationship to the change in the law. But there are also things that we can't directly tie to law. These have a corollary relationship, but are still worth mentioning as they may allay some fears. Anti-legalization groups feared that legalizing recreational weed would lead to an increase in driving fatalities. There is no direct evidence of that. In fact, the number of driving fatalities were down in the first half of 2014. They also feared there would be an increase in hard drug use. Again, people are actually using less hard drugs now than they were 10 years ago. They feared that more high school-aged kids would be smoking weed. Again, no. And they feared that there would be a spike in violent crime and crime in general. There hasn't been. The crime rate is actually trending down. So, does that mean weed makes our highways and schools and streets safer? No. Like I said, there's no direct connection between legalizing recreational marijuana and any of these statistics. So, are there any proven negatives to come out of these first 8 months? Yes. Sort of, not really. There is some anecdotal evidence that the general public isn't quite ready for edible marijuana. One man ate edible marijuana and then shot his wife. Another man ate edible marijuana and then fell off a balcony. The police think that marijuana played a role in both incidents. And the number of children who have been admitted to Children's Hospital of Colorado in Aurora due to consumption of marijuana in the first 6 months of the year is already more than all of last year. Again, this evidence is largely anecdotal, but it has been enough for the state to start looking at its THC limits and labeling requirements for edible goods. On the whole, the experiment appears to be a success, but we won't know for sure until it has been in practice for many more years.
So, there you go. I think it must just show that jurisdictions where they're worried about raising revenue and have a lot of harmful things like gambling or things like that, that legalizing the recreational use of a soft drug like marijuana actually not only lowers the crime rate, it actually makes money for the
And there are those there are those things where you sit there and you go, well, you know kids eat a shitload of marijuana, it can't be good for you. And so, you know, I mean, just be a little bit more John Denver-y. You know, I mean, seriously. By the way, when John Denver talked about passing the pipe around, he wasn't talking about tobacco.
The peace pipe. Yeah. No. And neither were the Indians. Yeah.
John Denver, rather than Motley Crue. You know. So the thing is that to me, it's just absurd. It's an absurd law. You can regulate it. You can do it. And the only reason that Nixon came out with this kind of law against weed was to control people. It was a political control device. And also, when you look at the way in which the American government, you go over there, Andy, and I know you have too, and you go over there and you turn on the fucking television and it's just drug ads. It's 90% fucking drug ads. And the drugs that you see on that fucking screen have half the goddamn advertisement is how it can fucking kill you.
Exactly. But that's the whole point. People are dying from...
And I'm sitting there listening to it for the first time again. And I went, holy
people
shit.
People are dying from pain medication. Yet you can treat, you can regulate pain with marijuana, either orally or in capsule form. And you cannot die from it.
That's right. And if you put the people on marijuana, whatever THC balance you want to use as a painkiller, it's not addictive. Whereas you put them on OxyContin, which Big Pharma makes a fuckload of money on.
And they give it to kids now.
And they give it to OxyContin. Well, if you can addict that, and OxyContin is highly addictive. And this is what happens. They go off the OxyContin and they go to fucking heroin. Your gateway drug is OxyContin. It's marijuana, not fucking marijuana, douchebag. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But there's
you know,
no, pro-
it just
there's no
never
profit.
Never ceases to amaze me.
There's no profit in marijuana for big pharma.
Bottom line.
No profit, yeah.
They don't fucking care about you.
Exactly.
Get it through your
they
thick
just
heads. They don't give a fuck. It's about money. And I'm not saying that you should, like, legalize heroin or harder drugs. You know, we can have a discussion about that. But marijuana, it's the stupidest fucking law in the goddamn universe. It's been put there as a political control. And it's been put
there for the last 80 years.
Big pharma is making huge money, and it's disgusting.
New developments include, cannabis tampons. Tampons with cannabis in them. And it completely eliminates cramps and pain and stuff have been released in America. I don't know. Don't laugh.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. There's a joke there, but I'm not going to take it.
Well, that is the best. Apparently, it is the best way to take drugs is up the ass or up the fanny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I know some people in the 60s who probably, came to those conclusions by accident.
That's right. Okay. We've all seen Trainspotting. We know how that works. Okay. Now.
Yeah. But, like most of the people that I knew that were potheads in the 60s, they're alive. You know, I mean, they're alive. They're doing fine.
Aren't we all? Yeah.
You know, then it turned to, and I was in the entertainment industry. So, the guys who are potheads, I know them. I don't know whether they do it anymore. You grow out of those things. But I talk to them. They're fine. The other people that I used to know were on heroin and they're dead.
But also the medical marijuana thing. My mother lives in California. And she has problems with migraines. And I said, Mother, migraines is an extension of epilepsy. Why don't you look at that? And sure enough, knocks it on the head. Knocks it on the absolute head with medical marijuana. So, anyway.
And she can get it absolutely. In California.
Our little burg of near Santa Barbara. I think there's four dispensaries. Yeah. So it's just normalized. And I think the sooner people see that and get the grip of big pharma off their balls so they can legislate for it.
And big alcohol.
Yeah, big alcohol.
Which just doesn't want. And by the way, I'll tell you something. I this is an actual incident that I want to relate to you. You have many jobs when you're an actor. And I was.
I'm nearly coming up to 100 different jobs, I think.
Yeah, I know. You and I have done a lot of jobs. We ended up doing what we're doing now. But I had a television series. We got canceled. I had two kids. And I took a job as a security guard at the tennis center here in Australia where they play the big
Aussie Open.
Grand Slam. Yeah. And and they also booked me for a few things. Now they booked me once for a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert, and everybody there was drinking. Everybody with it was drinking, and I'm making $10 an hour. And there's fight after fight after fight, and some dickhead comes next to me and he goes, "Hey, get in there and clear it up." I went, "Are you out of your fucking head?
$10 an hour? I ain't cleaning that up."
$10 an hour. I'm not Charles Bronson here. Shit. look at me. Go figure that out. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I'll do that. But they were killing each other, and they were all drunk. The next week, I had a Barry Manilow concert, and they were all stoned, and it was the happiest group I've ever seen in my life. They were gay, and B, they were stoned. They hugged you. It's fantastic.
Well, I think we're in an amazing age. If not only the medical marijuana with the epilepsy and migraines and cancer treatments, a lot of people are finding amazing developments in pain management, cancer management, and things like that. And let's just hope that within the next 10 years, that's just another thing that can be put to rest.
That sounds good. Yeah. Thank you, Randy. That's a very good rant. Now, you know what I want?
My religious nut job of the week. What?
Yes!
This has become a regular thing. Last week I revisited an old friend of the show with Pastor Manning. Yo, got a flame! steam coming out of your butthole. And this week I have another friend. Another friend.
Yeah. Pastor Manny, Pastor Manny. Hey, I've got to get her in the office. Make sure, Pastor Manny, come on in.
He's got a burning in his butthole. He's got a fire. He's got a flame coming out of his butthole. He's got a flame. He's got to have special asbestos diapers. When God gets through with the sodomite, this is the word of the Lord. This is the prophecy of Almighty God. This is the Lord's word. This is the Lord's word. And Pastor, if you are a sodomite, God's going to have a flame coming out of your butthole.
He's the wife of Satan. Anyway. Here's my friend, Stephen Anderson from Tempe, Arizona. Yeah. He's always a good value. And I'd like him to tell you now just what he believes in and how much he believes in it.
I'm scared to even ask. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a religious nut job of the week. And an oldie but a goodie, Pastor Stephen Anderson. Here he is on Randy's Rant.
Okay, so isn't it kind of silly for us to stand in judgment of God, but yet Christians do it all the time? People do it all the time. You know, here's a great example where people will try to come at us, usually atheists or people like that. They'll come at us and say, well, the Bible is wrong because the Bible condones of slavery. We've all heard that before, right? But here's the thing about that, is that if the Bible condones slavery, then I condone slavery. Because the Bible's always right about every subject. See, that's my starting point.
Right.
So I don't have to be like, oh man, I better figure out, you know, whether the Bible really condones slavery, you know, and I'm, you know. See, if I want to learn what's right about, what is the right opinion to have of slavery, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, well, let me figure out what the Bible says about slavery. And that's what I believe. Whatever the Bible says about slavery is what I believe. Not like, well, let me make sure that what the Bible says about slavery is politically correct, and if it is, then I'll agree with it. You got it all wrong.
Yeah,
you better go to the Bible and figure out what you should be believing about slavery based on what the Bible says, because the Bible is right about everything.
Amen.
Period.
Yeah. Sorry, black people.
Yeah.
Stephen says, hey, listen. We'd like to modify that document, the fairy tale that I have.
If it's in the Bible, it's true. I believe it. Every single word.
You know what you should do? And I said something like this last week. You should go to Stephen's Bible and just replace it with a new Bible and just write shit in it. It's like, write shit that you want him to believe. You know, it's like, oh, I can fly. And then maybe he'll jump out a window. I don't know. You know, just say it's from the Bible. Maybe Stephen will catch up.
I'm afraid, no.
Nah.
There are people that are taking it so damn literally.
Yes, they
are. And the point is...
Yeah.
Is that the people who take it literally, like your Michelle Bachmans and all of that, they think that it was written in English, it was written for us, that we're a Christian country, and everything we should do should be measured by the benchmark of the Bible.
And that's a particular thing that gets up your nose. Because I've been doing this for 3 years. You just can't stand it. Because you are a pagan. Are you a pagan or an atheist? What's your problem?
No.
What's your problem?
I just don't like people.
Do you believe in God?
Measuring America by the benchmark of the Bible. I don't think that's the right approach.
Right. So
I don't want to be governed by politicians who look to the Bible to justify anything that they do.
So
I'm sorry.
You're basically just pissed off about separation between church and state. I don't blame
you. But not just the separation of church and state.
Yeah.
But some people take it so literally, the Bible so literally, that...
Yeah.
They do want to go out and kill people.
Oh, absolutely.
Who don't do things
religion
by the Bible.
Religion is the first, you know, I know some great Christians, and I grew up Christian, and I love them, you know, and they are fantastic people. But this kind of, There is a form of Christianity that has been allowed to roam the countryside in the last 30 years. And it's this evangelical right-wing Christianity.
Fundamentalist Christianity. But the thing is, it's as bad as the fundamentalist Islamic or the fundamentalist Judaic.
Well, no, I don't think that they've gone all 13th century. I don't recall Jerry Falwell Jr., you know, walking into a Pizza Hut with Simtex or deciding he's going to kill people, through terrorism. But then again, if you do look what the evangelical right has done to America and what it's done to women and what it's the policies and candidates it supports, it does terrorism to people.
Yeah.
And, it makes it, and unfortunately, it's those loud Christians. The people that call themselves a Christian, Ben Carson, Ben Carson says he's a Christian and you can support Trump. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You're not a Christian. You're not. Jesus would meet you and start throwing up. Seriously, man, he'd throw up on you. And those people get me thinking because they're not Christians. They're hucksters. They're literally whores. That's all they are. They're whores. This guy here, Stephen Anderson, he's just a deluded, nutcase. He really is. He's a total nutcase. But I think that next time we're going to have to reach a little higher than Stephen Anderson because.
Yeah, okay. I promise.
It's like putting in a camera in somebody who's mentally challenged. And he is.
Yep.
He's just a dribbling idiot. As opposed to Alex Jones, who is just a brilliant man.
I want to play this thing I found, which is a news Fox News parody. I want to play this.
Okay, all right. We're going to go to a break. Then we're going to have our tinfoil hats with our nomination for a Jonesy. Ladies and gentlemen, we did get a couple links coming in on our Jonesy Awards. At the wonderful Jonesy Awards, of course, named after Alex Jones, who is the originator of the Jonesy. So we're going to be back in just a minute with our tinfoil hats and, of course, the Jonesy Awards for this week right here on show 157. We'll be back.
Now, in a desperate attempt to fill 24 hours of programming, here's some bullshit that happened somewhere today. We've got some footage here of the bullshit, which began just after 3 o'clock this afternoon, when residents in this neighborhood were shocked to see this fairly common thing happening. An attractive witness described the event in breathless terms.
I went to my window, and I was like, whoa, there's some bullshit happening.
That happened right over there. I'm an older man, so you can trust what I say.
Authorities in special uniforms rushed to the scene to stand around while our cameras filmed them. Our reporter Keith Collins joins us now live from the scene of the bullshit through the use of expensive technology. Good to be with you again, Keith. We have a colorful graphic here that shows instances of bullshit like this are on the rise. Is that right?
Yes, although why is unclear. Some say it's because of one fucking reason. Others say it's because of some other fucking reason. I talked to this random expert on the subject who told me this thing you're about to hear him say right after he points at a piece of paper.
I spent my entire life attending the nation's most prestigious schools to talk about bullshit like this. I'm really just happy to be on TV.
Now let's see if we can drag this out a little longer by showing emails written by some of our viewers. I once saw some stuff kind of like the shit you're talking about happen. I have nothing more to add. Another person says, I am angry that things like this happen. I get mad about every bullshit thing I see. So obviously a lot of opinions there to make this story seem somewhat meaningful.
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. This bullshit has some broader implications. Here's a list of tips on how to avoid bullshit happening to you.
And here's some footage of Congress.
Yes, I see that.
Well, thank you, Keith. Let us know if there are any updates on this bullshit story from there.
There's no way there will be.
Very good. We'll check back with you in an hour anyway.
I'm just some fucking guy.
When we return, we'll look at live footage of a car chase taken from a helicopter and free associate about what's going on.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight. I absolutely adore that comedy bit that you had.
Yeah, it's from The Onion. The Onion.
And some bullshit over here.
Yeah, yeah. It's this. It's either one fucking thing or it's the other fucking thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm a guy who went to college who points at charts. Dude. Yeah. I'm somebody else who gets shit pissed off about everything.
And I'm an old man, so you should believe everything I say.
You know, that is so fucking true. Listen to that bit, and you go back and listen to CNN, and you're going, it's fucking true.
Well,
it's
all fucking true. I put the video of The Onion. Yeah. Of The Onion
that
broadcast.
That is Off The Onion, guys.
On our website, so.
Off The Onion, absolutely.
It's in our comedy. I just put it in our comedy corner.
Oh, yeah.
On the website, thebillshow.net. Bill
Show in one place. Yeah. Okay. Now, listen, we have tinfoil hats, ladies and gentlemen. And then we have, of course, our first nominee for the Jonesy Award. Yes, we did get somebody to send in a clip.
Yeah.
So we have a few entries now. We chose the right entry that we're going to use. And it's something that actually I hadn't thought of doing. But before we do, Randy, what do you got for us?
Oh. My tinfoil hat this week is... A young gentleman, Edward Archibald, 32, Archbold, 32, of West Palm Beach, entered a contest. The contest was for eating live cockroaches and worms at a pet store. There were 30 contestants eating insects. Live insects, not cooked or fried or anything. At the Ben
was
Siegel.
Was Giuliani there? Because he does like that.
No, he would be too much like cannibalism for him.
You ever see Giuliani out there in the park? His tongue extends. Yeah. He's just
swatting at flies. Yeah. Anyway, this young guy wins the contest. The prize is a python. Because it was a reptile store sponsoring the competition.
So they're giving away a snake.
Yeah, but you had to eat these cockroaches and worms. He stuffed his mouth, ate dozens of them, and then promptly dropped dead.
Uh-huh.
And when they rang up the 911, they thought it was fake. The local sheriff's office thought it was fake. Now, authorities say they're still waiting for results of the autopsy to determine the cause of death. But they can't find...
You know what that means, don't you? You know what that means, don't you? There's one less Trump supporter out there.
But they can't find... I bet you the body disappeared because the cockroaches ate it from the inside out.
Do you have a clip for this?
Do I have a clip for this? Do I have a clip for this? Of course I've got a clip for this.
Oh, great.
You think I'm making this shit up?
Oh, you could be. No. I don't know. Sitting around in your Dr. Denton's. Okay,
man dies after live roach-eating contest in Florida.
There you go. From Florida, one less Donald Trump supporter in the world today.
25 seconds left on the clock.
The winner of a live cockroach-eating contest in South Florida has died after downing dozens of the bugs and some worms. Authorities say Edward Archibald, seen here on the left in amateur video shot during the contest, collapsed shortly afterward in front of the reptile shop that sponsored the event.
Initially, when I got the call telling me that someone had died after a roach eating contest, I didn't believe it. Really, right now, there's just a lot of questions, not too many answers.
Ben Siegel, the owner of the reptile shop, was offering a grand prize of this python to the winner. He says he is saddened by Archibald's death.
He was the life of the party. He was outgoing. So we're all very sad. We're sad for the family. We're sad for us. We're sad for him. It's a bad situation.
Bug experts say cockroaches don't have natural toxins unless they're contaminated. Some people may have allergies, though, to the bugs. The sheriff's office says none of the 30 or so other contestants have gotten sick. Authorities are waiting for results of an autopsy to determine a cause of death. Rawson, The Associated Press.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was the life of the party.
Until he died.
I know. This is tragic. I know, but you're too fucking stupid to live. Seriously, man, I'm sorry. You're just dumb. You know, why would you do this to
yourself? You know what he said, and the prize is a python. You know,
the thing is, man, to be life of the party, just get a lampshade. You know, just do it the old-fashioned way.
You know, like... And then when the guy got up and said, the prize is this wonderful python.
Yeah, who could turn that down?
And the guy said, how many feet? The guy says, it's a snake, stupid. Oh, sorry.
You know,
it's a blonde joke.
I know I'm a snob, but, you know, when you said it happened in Florida, I went, yeah, okay.
I love that. There was a lovely thing I saw about this guy from Alabama.
What's that?
This guy from Alabama says, you know, Hillary Clinton says that us Trump supporters are deplorable, but you can't deplore me because I was born here.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, evidently she got in hot water because she said deplorables. And she said that 50% of them were deplorables. I thought she was being kind. I thought, yeah, you know, she thought was. She's just like, you know, oh, I'm like 70-75, man.
Okay. Talk about religious nut jobs.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about not standing for the national anthem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because of well, a lot of people are now taking the knee.
Good.
As it's called.
Isn't that fantastic?
And sportsmen.
Yeah.
But this pastor in Alabama said they should all be taken out and shot.
Oh, good.
By our military.
Go. Yeah, that's A1 Christianity right there for you.
Yeah.
That's good. Hey, you know,
so there's a religious nut job
but you know,
for you.
You know, there was an actual story. This reminds me, the cockroach story actually reminds me of an actual story I read, and I don't have a clip for it, but
really?
It was an actual story that I read. It was, I think, on Huffington Post. And it said, it was a guy in some southern state. I'm telling you this. It's true. It was a southern state. Bought a bulletproof vest. And he was with his friend.
No, this was in Florida.
Yeah.
This is my
friend.
Yeah, this is my second tenfold.
And then he turns around and he says, let's see if it works. And he shoots the guy fucking dead. And it's like, you know, there is a certain kind of thing called Darwin. And it really does kind of like fucking
That was my second tinfoil hat.
Oh my god!
But I'll do it next week. Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm a real sick fuck. But can you imagine the expression on Goober's face?
Tampa man dies after testing bulletproof.
Yeah, testing bulletproof vest. That's what. It's a great metaphor for what's happening in America right now. I'll see if they put Trump in charge. Anything will be bad. Let's test it out.
Two Tampa cousins tested a flak jacket.
Yeah. Anyway,
by firing a bullet. Anyway.
Yeah. Listen, I got one right now.
Let's have yours.
I have mine. Mine's rather disappointing, Randy. It's kind of disappointing because I'm an actor and I really like other actors. And one of my favorite actors has been in the past John Voight. I think John Voight, by the way, Ray Donovan, look at his performance in Donovan. It's amazing. And
Midnight
films
Cowboy,
of the 70s and 80s, an amazing Deliverance, you know, just some really great performances. Unfortunately, John took a lot of drugs and evidently he showed up at a forum in which he wanted to talk about from the heart. He wanted to talk about his friend, Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, the Oscar winner, John Voight.
My heart aches watching Donald Trump day after day pouring his heart out, telling the American people what he wants to do to save the nation. How can anyone doubt his sincerity? I can only feel, if God allows truth to be said and heard, that we will see Donald Trump the next president of this great America. And he will lift the dark cloud that hovers over us now.
Gee, John, I always knew you kind of like conservative, but I didn't know that you got a room with him. You know, it's like, fucking get a room, man.
I just threw up a little bit just then. That was
in my mouth. I was sitting there going, you know,
yeah,
kind of flowery there, John. You know, you guys seem kind of close. He will lift the dark cloud. I cannot understand why people don't take Donald Trump seriously. I am the poster child for taking acid a lot.
That's just rude. That's just. I can't believe he said that.
I know.
It almost sounds like a performance.
It jarred me.
Yeah.
Because here he is. You know, whatever you think of him. And it's like with Clint Eastwood, too. You know, Clint Eastwood is a great director, and he's a great actor. I'm sorry.
And
he
spoke
did.
At the Republican convention for Mitt Romney with an empty chair or something.
He's a crazy old shithead, but he's also great at what he does. And that's also true, I guess, of John Voight, because John Voight, that was disgusting. I'm sitting there going, really? You know, really, John? There's no way that you could understand why anybody would think that the guy with a toupee in back of you who ran a casino.
Where was he speaking? Where was he speaking?
Fuck! Really?
Where was he speaking? That?
I don't know. There was some conservative convention
really
under a rock recently.
But, you know, Tom Hanks came out a couple weeks ago and said, look, Donald Trump gets elected, America will go on. America will be fine. We survived 8 years of George W. Bush.
Nah. He's wrong.
You reckon?
He is. Oh, fuck me. He's wrong.
No, thanks.
He's wrong. If we elect this fucker, he will be the end of us. And it is my absolute conviction that this guy
is insane.
There's
too many checks and balances. How can...
No. This guy has nuclear codes.
There's too many...
There's no declaration of war anymore. He can do anything the fuck he wants.
I can't believe this guy will ruin us. I can't believe that.
He will destroy the country and possibly destroy the
world. I can't believe it. Anyway. I don't want him elected.
I
don't want him... I don't want him elected either, but that's the political machine.
He's a Stephen King novel. This is what I've been saying in
all the
shows.
Yes, I know.
A long time ago, I said it. I said this guy
but he
is
could
the
be
fucking
the,
Stephen King
He could be
King
the
novel.
One who leads us out of the darkness.
Now, if you keep talking like that, I'm going to come over to you and just I'm nonviolent, so I'll look at you sternly and have no respect for you ever again. That's how us liberals get back to it. We don't beat people up. We use sarcasm
and vitriol. We use vitriol, which sounds like
I don't respect you.
Vitriol is kind of sounds like an iron supplement, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh no!
Try
new
vitriol.
Oh, I've got Hillary. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you got a blood clot the size of Los Angeles.
Oh, God. That is bad. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I want to, just before we go, we, of course, got our first nomination for the Jonesy Award. Can I have the trumpets, please? There they are. The trumpets for the thick. That's right. We have a royal trumpet. Yes, of course, it's the Alex Jones Memorial Award. Given to one of the next five people. Now, we've had a few this week, and we had one here. This one came by way of San Diego, and we got a guy named Sam in San Diego. Sam in San Diego. And he's a very nice person, and he dropped this clip on YouTube, and we had two or three more, but this is one we chose. So Sam in San Diego,
you're in the running.
You're in the running, dude. So you obviously got the a really good one, too, that we missed. This is Sam's wonderful tinfoil hat for show 157, a nominee for the Jonesy Award. Here it is.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it.
Okay. that's an obvious one, but man, you got
Aleppo?
It, Sam.
What's Aleppo?
That's
what's
a good
Aleppo?
One.
You, right? Like a Chico Marx, yeah? What's Aleppo?
Yeah, I know. Because you look at Gary Johnson's face, and there's a millisecond of honesty past the bullshit. Now, yeah. Gary Johnson seems like a nice guy. Actually, he does.
He's actually cake, polling, but he's a polling nice better guy. Than Jill Stein, but there's a that's moment, for sure.
Well, yeah, I know. And but, you know, I'm not going to get involved in any kind of stosh with Jill Stein, news reporters. Some of them I absolutely love. I just think they're wrong here. But... with Gary Johnson supporters, have you ever seen the convention that nominates these guys? The Libertarian Convention looks like, you know the guys, that the little kids that played those games in Stranger Things, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons? Those are the guys at the Gary Johnson Convention. You know, they're in
like
costume and
grown
shit.
Up, grown
and,
up goonies.
Gary is a sweet. Yeah, he's a sweet-natured nerd that got a hold of Ayn Rand at an early age, you know? So that's what he did. But there's a moment in which Gary Johnson is looking at Mike Barnacle in that interview, and you know, but he sits there and he goes, oh, fuck, I've just destroyed my entire campaign. And you can see it go through his eyes, you know? It's like, oh, that!
About anything, and he just anyway. I don't think that.
No, but that's bullshit, Randy. You cannot be expected not to know what Aleppo is. It's like Donald Trump sitting there saying, "I don't know what the nuclear triad is." I'm a schmo on the internet with you know, my own little podcast. I don't even want to be president, and I know what the nuclear triad. The nuclear triad is: you have missiles on planes, you have missiles on subs, and you have intercontinental ballistic missiles. That's the nuclear triad. I knew that. Trump had no idea. He wants to be president. I walk down the street here. What the fuck? You know, I mean, it's like you got to know what Aleppo is.
What's Aleppo? What's Aleppo?
You know. So, Sam in San Diego, you are nominated. The next four shows, they're going to be people who hopefully we'll get some more. Well, the next four shows, and they are competing for the first annual Jonesy Award. That's right, the Alex Jones Memorial
Is
Crazy
Alex
Award.
Jones dead?
Going to one of our listeners.
Well, then how can you have a memorial award?
No, Alex Jones is still... Well, we're hoping.
Oh, dear.
Hey, I'm not encouraging violence, but, you know. It's like, I know a
Say
lot of decent
Dick.
People
Say
who get
Dick.
Diseases. So I figure God, you probably have one coming for me.
Okay? Say goodnight, Dick.
Anyway, listen, we want to say... Yeah, I'm going to say tonight, Dick. Listen, I want to thank everybody for tuning in once again to our show. If you want to reach us, you can reach us on... billsonxpr@gmail.com. In fact, if you have your entry or your YouTube link for the Jonesy Awards, billsonxpr@gmail.com. You can reach us at our website. We still need to put more stuff there, but it's there. It's the Bill Show.
I put some stuff there. Bill Show.
Everything Bill Show in one place.
And I put some stuff there during the show.
So there's like tapes and. Yeah. We got videos and articles and just stuff we update from time to time. Have a look. It's all free. It's just for you. It's us. And, of course, you can reach us on Podbean and iTunes and Stitcher Radio. That's right, Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show. That's Stitcher Radio. Right now, I think we should say goodbye. Guys, thanks for joining us again.
See you guys.
We'll
Happy
see you
trails.
Next time. Happy trails to you, till we meet
again.
Bye,
Randy.
Bye, Randy.
Happy trails to you, until we meet again. Happy trails to you, keep smiling. The clouds when we're too